attractive to us, and we struggle with that. I'm thankful that we can sing a song like that and remind ourselves. You know, I made mention that I'm thankful that you all come out tonight, and I want to acknowledge I'm thankful that my wife is here. I'm very grateful for that. You know, the longer you're married, the more attached you get to your partner. And yeah, I missed her, and I'm thankful she can be here, and thankful that God prosper her travels. So tonight we want to talk about the freedom of forgiveness, and you know, it's something that we all enjoy when we do wrong, and somebody forgives us, and we really value that. We enjoy that in relationships. And, you know, it could be that maybe you're here tonight and you know what it is not to be forgiven. Maybe you have offended somebody and they hold you hostage and haven't forgive you. And you can still find rest if you ask God to forgive you and you do your part. But it's still better if the other party does forgive you and offers forgiveness. It's just that we like that. And words like long-suffering and gracious and gentleness and love and forbearance, patience, you know, all those big words surround forgiveness. Like I believe that forgiveness is the core. And when you have forgiveness, it's only then that you can actually be long-suffering and gentle and patient and merciful and have forbearance. But when forgiveness is absent, those words are difficult. You know, yeah, you can read them and you can say them. They can be in your vocabulary, but actually to experience them, they're difficult. And I found in my life, in my experience, when I actually have forgiveness in my heart, it makes those words that you can actually live them out. You can have forbearance and patience and mercy and long-suffering and graciousness and gentleness. I mean, there's a lot of big words, but they're all coming from the Bible and they're all coming from Christian living. So I think I made mention somewhere along the line that forgiveness is like oxygen is to life. Like you can't live without oxygen, you will die. And that's the same thing with unforgiveness. If you have unforgiveness, you're gonna die spiritually. It's just how it is, and we're gonna look at some of that, facts a little later. So thinking about oxygen, they tell us that we breathe about 21% oxygen in is I don't know how they come up with that figure, but 21%, and then about 14 or 15% comes out. The truth is if you wouldn't have any oxygen come out of you, you would also die. Did you know that? And I want you to think about that, because Jesus offers us forgiveness, and we receive forgiveness from Christ because of what he has done for us, and we acknowledge Christ as our Savior, and we receive that, and maybe you could call that 21% oxygen. We should call it maybe 100%, but you understand what I'm saying. You bring that in. If nothing comes out, you're going to die spiritually. And on a life sense, that's how that works. If oxygen doesn't come out, eventually your life will cease to exist. So I want you to remember that forgiveness comes in and then forgiveness goes out. That's the only way we can live the Christian life. A lot of people today want to claim forgiveness from Christ and the work of Christ, but then you wonder where it is in life. You wonder where it's missing. Because you see broken relationships. You see broken vows, and you see anger and frustration, and you're like, where's forgiveness? But yet they claim the forgiveness of God. Well, forgiveness sets us free. And it's wonderful freedom. Forgiveness sets us free from guilt, and our forgiveness to others sets us free from bitterness. So when Christ's forgiveness comes into our hearts, guilt is removed. But then when we forgive other people, we're free from bitterness. And God's nature is to forgive. In Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God desires, it's in his nature to forgive. He wants to forgive. God's nature is to forgive. Therefore, an unforgiving spirit is ungodly. So tonight, if you have an unforgiving spirit, then you cannot claim to be godly, because God's nature is to forgive. That's what he desires. That's why Jesus came into the earth. Jesus said he came not to judge, but to reconcile, to bring mercy, and to forgive sins. So unforgiving does not, unforgiving spirit does personal harm. It leads to bitterness and makes a lot of problems. So this forgiveness is to forgive is divine. And to do wrong and to err is human. But we need divine power in order to forgive. So, like I said, the message title is The Freedom of Forgiveness. Now, there's two problems that we have, two big problems that we deal with in earth life that affect us. Number one is guilt. Guilt is a big problem, big deal. And it shows up in children. Like you can tell when your little children are guilty. They're just not pleasant, and they're difficult, and they have a problem. They have a psychological problem, an emotional problem, and it shows up. And when parents are able to help that child have a free conscience, they change. They smile, and they're pleasant, and we all know that. You can have a child that's all wrapped up with guilt, and you take that child, and you sit down, and you talk to them, and you exercise some discipline. And then they're like, rules away. And that's the same way it works with adults. We're not made to handle guilt. And another problem we have is bitterness. And it poisons us. Bitterness is a reaction to someone else's wrong or our perception of somebody else's wrong. Sometimes people are bitter towards people when the other person actually didn't do anything wrong. That's possible. It happens in human nature. So bitterness is like drinking poison and thinking the other person's going to die. It's just so foolish, you know, for to drink poison and you think the other person's actually going to be the one that gets hurt or dies. And that's what bitterness is. Ephesians 4:31 says that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There is a lot of people in churches that look like they're Christians, they talk like they're Christians, but they're full of bitterness and unforgiveness. And it grieves my heart. I don't understand how people can claim to be Christians and have unforgiveness in their hearts. I hear of family relationship problems. That's one of the things that was so wonderful that I have to testify with. When my mother was killed suddenly, it was just like a week or so before. I think it was a week before. We had a family meeting to discuss some important things with mom and dad getting older and some decisions that were made. We sat around my brother's kitchen table and we talked about things. And when we were all done, we were all at rest. And the next week, my mom called each one of the children and just wanted to bless each one of the children for how we're working together and how she was just so happy. And we didn't know that within a few days, she's going to be in heaven. But you know what? The treasure that I have in my heart is wonderful. And you can have that same treasure. And it has, and I don't know why people claim to be Christians and not have that treasure. Because we're going to look at some verses that Jesus talked about. Forgiveness sets us free from both guilt and bitterness. God's forgiveness sets us free from the prison of guilt. Our forgiveness of others sets us free from the prison of bitterness. we set two prisoners free, ourselves and the person that we forgive. So you see how this all works together. You know, when I choose to forgive somebody for something, I'm setting myself free, and I'm also setting them free. It gives them the opportunity to see forgiveness and see the grace of God, and gets them on the path to be able to work through some of their issues in their life. Now, Matthew chapter 6 is, Jesus spoke these words, and this is the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know what that's telling? You know what that's telling God? When we pray that verse, what we're saying is, God, we want you to forgive us the way we forgive others. So I want to ask you tonight, are you all right with that? Are you all right with God choosing to forgive you like you forgive other people? Are you comfortable with that? Or are you hoping God forgives you with greater forgiveness? He's saying, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then if you go down to verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So the same way that we forgive people in earth life is the same way that God will forgive us. I don't want to take any chances. I don't want any unforgiveness in my heart. I don't want any bitterness in my heart, because God's going to say he's going to forgive me like I forgive other people. We ask God to forgive us our sins. He then gives us grace to forgive others. We receive mercy and we show mercy. If we choose not to forgive and practice forgiveness, then God withdraws his forgiveness from us. It's just so sobering. And there's that is foundational, and it doesn't matter how good of a person you are and how many commandments you're obeying. And it could be that you're a good moral person, in quotes, and you actually live a decent life. You're actually a good church member taking communion, and you're not living in fornication, adultery, and you're not lying. You pay your taxes and you do all these good things. But if you have somebody over there that you're angry and bitter at, God says, I'm not going to forgive you. And he won't recognize all the good things that you do. Am I being too black and white? I don't think so. I think we're just taking the Bible for what it says. Because forgiveness is a huge deal. It's a big deal, because we need it from God. And if we don't get it from God, we're lost forever in eternity without him. So there's a few things I want to go into in Ephesians 4, 32. So we have a couple factors here about forgiveness, and the grace factor is, why should I forgive? Like, why should I forgive? If you sin against me, why should I forgive? And it says it here in Ephesians 4, 32. He says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. God forgives us because of what Christ has done for us. And that's a grace factor. You know, I forgive because I receive grace from my Heavenly Father. We need to forgive willingly, lovingly. We're called to this grace. And you may be here tonight and say, you mean I need to forgive my husband? I mean, if you would know how he hurts me, and you're saying, preacher, that I need to forgive him, and I'm saying, yes, you do. You need to forgive him. And you could say the same thing over here. You mean I have to forgive my wife? If you would know how she's so disrespectful to me, and I have to forgive her? Yes, choose forgiveness. That's what the Bible does. I mean, we were lost in sins, and you read what I read that the other night, our sinful nature, and God came and offered his son and offered forgiveness. And yes, and I hear people say that, if you would know what I went through, you would understand. You would understand why I'm bitter and why I'm resentful. Maybe I don't understand. Maybe I probably didn't walk in your moccasins, but I have a God that has a mandate. Now the Word of God says what he says, and I'm not going to change that. So the call is to forgive. I don't care how ugly your story is. You need to forgive. Non-resistance in all relationships. Return good for evil. For some reason, some people think that non-resistance only pertains to not going to war, not signing up for the U.S. Navy or the U.S. Air Force or the Marines, and so we're non-resistance, and we won't do that. We won't cast our vote for a president, and I agree with all that. But non-resistance is much more than that. Non-resistance is right here. It's in our homes, it's in our communities, it's at the workplace, it's everywhere. And that's why we choose to forgive. Treat people like you would like to be treated when you do wrong. I'll tell you a little story. Story of a young, I read this, it's not a personal story. A story of a young employee in a business. Under temptation, he stole several hundred dollars from the business. And he got caught. And he was called to the manager's office, and he knew he was caught. He figured he would lose his job. The manager asked if it is true. He said, "Yes, I'm guilty." The manager asked the young man if he were to forgive you. "If I were to forgive you, could I trust you in the future?" The man said, "Yes. If you give me a chance, I will be your best employee." The manager said, "I will forgive you. But before you go, I want to tell you, you're not the first person that did this. Years ago, I did almost exactly the same thing that you did. And I was forgiven. The mercy that was shown to me, I'm showing to you. And may God have mercy on both of us." And I read you that story because this manager, because of the mercy that he received many, many years ago, he remembered that. And then he was a manager of a employee that did the same thing. And because of the mercy that he received, he offered mercy to this employee. You see how that works? And I want to tell you something. When you get a hold of the mercy of God in your life, and then you understand the mercy that God had in your life, you can't help but be merciful to other people. It's when we forget about the mercy of God in our own personal experience that we start holding people hostage. But if we remember the mercy that I had to receive and you received from God to be where you are tonight, then it behooves you to be merciful to other people. And that's the principle of forgiveness. Romans 3, 3:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified free by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." I mean, the forbearance of God, isn't that amazing? "To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus." And you just see this principle of God having forbearance and mercy and so on. Well, the next reason that we forgive is the guilt factor. It's not God's plan for us to live with guilt. Humans do not do well with guilt. It makes people... I've seen people that have guilt and they're bitter, and they're angry and they're miserable and they're difficult to work with. I mean, I had people that I know that were just difficult, and you knew there's something going on inside for whatever it could be, various different things. But an unforgiving spirit is usually at the core of that. Forgiving and being forgiven go together, like I read there in Matthew chapter 6. We cannot separate it. We have this problem that we think that we can have forgiveness, but we don't have to forgive. That you can't separate that. They're together. Go hand in hand. If I receive forgiveness, then I forgive. And so we have that guilt factor. When we choose not to forgive, we're saying, Father, I'm not going to forgive that person, and so don't forgive me. And that's really serious. That's actually what we're telling God. Matthew 18 is another scripture I want to read. That Matthew 18, verse 23. We're talking about the freedom of forgiveness. Matthew 18, 23. This is a story. And this, we read this story and we get quite alarmed. But Jesus gave this because this is our human nature. Therefore, is verse 23 of Matthew 18, therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which when he took account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. Some people say that was 10 million. I don't know. There's different various opinions on that. But anyway, it was a lot of money. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. I mean, think about that. Selling your wife and children and everything you have to pay a bill. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who was owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And somebody has said that was like $1.29. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's a significant difference, 10 million to $1.29. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into a prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. I mean, these people were amazed. It's like, wow, look what's going on here. They went and told the Lord. Then the Lord said after that, he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? Or the brother that you go to church with, or the sister you go to church with, or the neighbor that you live with, or the fellow employer or employee that you work with. And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the for tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. So now he brings it to a different level. He says it needs to come from the heart, not just from the words that we say. He's saying you needed to forgive from the heart. What does that mean? We could get into different aspects of that, but I think what that means is that you actually end up loving that person that offended you, and you choose forgiveness, and you cultivate forgiveness, and you continue to choose the forgiveness, you develop a love for that person. Maybe greater than before the offense, when it comes from the heart. James 2, verse 13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Oh my. God wants us to have mercy, and he says, if I don't show mercy to people, neither will I have mercy. Healthy relationships, the spirit of forgiveness is a given. Spirit of forgiveness overlooks other people's faults. It doesn't overlook sinful behavior, but you want to see the other person win. You want to see the other person succeed. We don't hold people in the prison of a perfectionism. It's so easy to hold people higher standard than we hold to ourselves. And Matthew 7 talks about that. He says, and I just need to read these scriptures. Matthew 7, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite! First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And probably you won't even see that mote when you actually deal with your own selfish nature. And in relationships, that's just how it works, brothers and sisters. It just works that way. When you deal with your selfish nature and you deal with your pride, you deal with your perfectionism, and you hold people to a higher standard to yourself, and you deal with that from the heart, after a while, all the things that you see, thought you saw, disappear. I remember Brother Rene Revere, old friend of mine. How many know Rene Revere? There's a few of you. And he was on the mission field in Guatemala. And he talks about people living together and not getting along. And this happened to be some sister school teachers. And this is nothing against school teachers living together. But these school teachers were living in the same house and they had trouble living together. And he said it got that bad that they couldn't even stand each other brushing how the other person brushed their teeth. I don't know if he was stretching that or not, but that's something how little things can irritate us when we have bitterness and resentment in relationships. People can't even walk right. Can't even brush their teeth right, is what he was saying. And that's what Jesus is addressing here in these scriptures. Why do we need to forgive? Is we need to forgive because of the grief factor. You know, in Matthew 18, that man that chose not to forgive that I just read, he says he was delivered to the tormentors. You know what? There's a lot of torment that goes with people that have bitterness. People that hold bitterness and resentment, they're in torment. They can't even sleep well at night. They're angry during the day. They're angry on the roads. They're in torment. And it's grief. Hebrews 12 says, teaches us looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. And so we can fail the grace of God if we have bitterness springing up and troubling us, and thereby many be defiled, the scripture teaches. The grief is pain. It causes ourselves pain, but it also hurts a lot of other people. I have seen fathers that were bitter and unforgiving, and it destroys their family. It'll hurt their wife, and their wife is trying to keep the children together, and the children are struggling, and I'm like, Father, husband, give up the bitterness. Choose forgiveness. And then there's healing and there's restoration. But you'll have bitterness cause grief to the person that has it, and then it spreads out into the family and even into the community. You know, it's something how that works. I worked a few years. My wife and I served at Shepherd's Fold for house parents. And I still remember a man coming in there, a married man. He had a number of children. And he came in there to the program. And he sat there and told me, he says, I did nothing wrong. I should not be here. I'm not the problem. And I'm like, really? I mean, I looked at his family, and things were hurtful, things were flying apart, relationships were flying apart, and he sits there and says, I did nothing wrong. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We become usable Christians when we choose forgiveness for God's kingdom. Bitter people become unusable. And this ministry of reconciliation is awesome. It's awesome. When you experience that reconciliation with God, and he makes you a minister of reconciliation, it's rewarding. There's nothing more rewarding in life than to be able to be part of trying to help people love each other and forgive and have the ministry of reconciliation, being a peacemaker. But it first needs to be your own personal experience. It enables you to crucify that desire to gossip. You know, maybe you know there's stories that you can enjoy talking about of people and their conflicts and their bitterness. And I just want to hold something out to you. I would like to promote that rather you would go and pray and fast for those people instead of spreading it around in the community. Because we want them to get saved. We want them to get delivered from this guilt and this bitterness and quit drinking the poison thinking that other people are going to die when actually they're killing themselves. Reconciliation through forgiveness. And too many times, that reconciliation is, we get mixed up and we seek to be reconciled, trying to blame other people for the problem. And Matthew 7 says, just sit down and look at yourself. And when you decide to take time to pray and fast and give it to God, let God do a work in your life, and then you develop that ministry of reconciliation, and can be part of helping restoration. So let's just look quickly. How does forgiveness look? Well, Jesus gives this perfect example. Is when he was hanging on the cross. I mean, these people had just went through a trial. Jesus had went through a trial. He had multiple false accusations. And they beat him. Put a crown of thorns on his head and then took weeds and hit those crown of thorns. Blood's running down his body. They lay that cross down. They lay him down. Nail his hands and his feet. And they get that cross and they plop it in a hole. And the body goes like this. And he has intense pain. He can hardly breathe because he's hanging on the cross. What did he say when he was hanging on the cross? Can somebody tell me what he said? Yeah. For they know not what they do. And Jesus wants us to forgive people like that. There's people that are going to hurt you that they don't realize that they're hurting you. They don't know it. Maybe they're innocent, more innocent than those people that did that to Jesus. I don't know. But he says, Jesus gave us this perfect example. And Jesus forgave spontaneously, freely. And I just want to hold out. Don't wait. Tonight, if there's somebody that you're bitter towards, don't go to bed tonight. God has given us the gift of communication with cell phones and phones, and if you can call them, pick up your phone and dial the number and say, I mean, I had somebody do that to me the other year. He called me and said, Darwin, I'd like to talk to you, and he wanted to ask for forgiveness for something that I had forgiven him. I didn't remember. It was all right, but I extended the forgiveness, and it was wonderful. But God spoke to him and said, I need to do this, and he did it. If God's speaking to you tonight, don't linger. Jesus didn't linger. He hung on the cross, and before he took his last breath, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then he gave up the ghost. But those words are precious tonight. Another thing that forgiveness looks like is we are fully forgiven. Is when somebody asks for forgiveness, tell them that they're forgiven. Don't say, well, it's all right, it doesn't matter. I wasn't offended, you know, just let it go. You're making too big of a deal out of something. No. Honor their choice to call you or talk to you and ask for forgiveness. Honor that. Because they need that. Because God put that in their spirit and they want to make it right. And honor that, acknowledge that, and tell them, I forgive you. It's all right. I love you. Appreciate it. Another one is forgive once and for all. You know, the Bible says our sins are buried in the grave of God's forgetfulness, and I don't know how God forgets. But I just understand that it means that God does no longer hold it against you. My sins of my youth are not held against me. If I go out and indulge in sin today, those sins are held against me. Not those sins back when I was a youth, because I have forgiven those. I ask God to forgive me for sins of my growing up years and struggles I had. They're gone. And so when somebody makes multiple offenses to you, our human nature wants to say, well, you did this before. You always do this. You never change. I mean, the last 3 years, I've forgiven you for the same thing. And we throw it up in their face. And I'm pleading with you, don't do that. It could be true that they're offending you. What does the Bible say? What did Jesus say? 70 times 7? Peter thought that there should be a limit to this, and Jesus said, no, there's no limit. Just forgive. And I'm not suggesting that people don't need help if they have multiple things that they need to deal with and have sinful problems and may need to be helped. But it's the same thing. But the truth is that we can forgive. We can forgive, and then that empowers us with the ministry of reconciliation, because you're going to have a hard time helping somebody if you don't forgive them, if they do have a repeated problem with an offense. So the first thing is we need to choose to forgive, and then that gives us that ministry of reconciliation, gives us enough good footing to actually help that person. Maybe it's a married, maybe it's in your marriage, or maybe it's your own teenage son or teenage daughter that you're working with, and just keep on working with them and helping them. Well, another way that forgiveness looks like is we have to choose it. Not always forgiveness comes as freely. Not all forgiveness does. It could be the nature of the sin can really be difficult to forgive. It's not just like a light switch turning it off and on. And it's not natural for us to forgive. And I want to bring that out, that it's not natural. It's not. This is a supernatural thing that we're talking about tonight. It only comes, this enablement to forgive comes because we experience the grace of God and Jesus within us and dwelling within us. And he gives us the grace and to forgive. It's a super divine ability. So in order to forgive, you need to have Christ as your Savior and Lord, and have experienced that forgiveness. Because he says, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And where do we get this tenderheartedness and this kindness? It comes from Christ. He puts his spirit within us and enables us. And like I said, there's some sins that are more difficult to forgive because the scars that they leave are more intense. There is different types of sins that hurt deeper. But the call still is to forgive. I want to read you a story of Corrie ten Boom. She says this. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch girl. You probably read some of her books in World War II, and was taken by the Nazis and put in a Nazi concentration camp, along with her sister. The reason she was put in prison was because she had been hiding Jews. Corrie's sister died while in camp. Corrie did not. While being in the camp, she was treated with unimaginable brutality, almost starved, extreme hard work. Awful things were done to her by the cruel guards. There was one particular guard who extremely mistreated her. Later, Corrie got out of prison and she was serving God. She was giving a message of forgiveness to a group of people. After the message, a man walked up to her and put his hand out and said, "Corrie, isn't the grace of God something wonderful? Isn't forgiveness wonderful?" And when she looked into the man's face, she froze, because it was the cruel prison guard, the most cruel guard. And now he comes up and reaches out and begins to praise God. She wanted to pull out her hand because she had spoken on forgiveness, but she said, "I couldn't." She said, she wanted to pull her hand out. She said, "I prayed, oh Jesus, help me to forgive." So there she was in this intense moment. She was preaching forgiveness like I am tonight. And this man walks up. And here was this prison guard that mistreated her. And I don't even want to describe to you what he did to her. And she comes up and says, "Isn't God's forgiveness wonderful?" And she says this. And she said, I put out my hand and put my hand into his hand, and the grace of God and the love of God began to flow through my body. Listen, friend, brothers and sisters, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice to follow Jesus' example. We sometimes need to simply choose to forgive because we know it's the right thing to do, like Corrie did there. And we need to forcibly forgive. We need to reach out that hand, and when we choose, God will fill us with his grace. It's amazing. And I can testify, I can't think of an example right now. Maybe it wouldn't even be appropriate for me to say the example if it would come to my mind. But I know that there's times in my heart that I needed to choose forgiveness, and then the grace of God and the love just flew from me. It's a choice. We are set free. The process of being set free from bondage, like the slaves were in the South when they set the slaves free. And they were free. And they were free to go wherever they wanted to. Reconciliation is made possible. So, James 3, verse 16 says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And the only way to have peace is to experience forgiveness. So I want to read in closing John 15:5. John 15:5, "And I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." So I want you to do a fruit inspection tonight of your life and your relationships. If there's anybody that you have bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, then it's hindering your fruit. Because God says, Jesus says, "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." He's not talking about the fruit of bitterness or the fruit of resentment. "For ye, without me ye can do nothing." And in verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." So I don't know where you're at tonight in your relationships. I just know that in human relationships, sometimes there's struggles. Sometimes there's bitterness, and it happens within the church. It's not only in the world. This is something that happens in the church, and it happens in the world also. And I just plead with you tonight, if there's somebody that you are bitter towards or resentful, it could be anybody, it could be that you make it right. The darkness that some Christians experience is the lack of choosing to forgive. There's people that have trouble in their life, and you listen to them, and you're like, if they would choose forgiveness, if they would thrust out their hand and choose to forgive, it would change their life. I'm going to give an invitation tonight. If there's somebody here that has bitterness, just stand to your feet, and we'd love to talk with you and pray with you and help and guide you to free.